It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferrich. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. As we mark the 13th anniversary of the 2001 terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center, questions about national security and terrorist threats in the Middle East are dominating headlines.
Last night, on the eve of the anniversary, President Obama addressed the threat posed by the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria and referred to as ISIS or ISIL. He laid out his approach for combating the threat the group may pose around the world.
As the U.S. launches into a more dedicated offensive against ISIS and marks the September 11th attacks, we're taking the opportunity to look at terrorist threats posed around the world today and how the United States has responded to them over the last 13 years, from Afghanistan to places like Yemen, Somalia, Pakistan, and Nigeria.
Here with us is Stephen Vladek, professor of law at American University Washington College of Law. He's the editor-in-chief of the National Security Forum, Just Security. Steve, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So more than a decade after September 11th, which group or groups do you see as posing the biggest threat to the U.S. in terms of interest and security today?
Well, I mean, it certainly sounds from everything we've heard from the Obama administration like the real threat we face today comes from ISIL, from the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. And that's partly because ISIL is in a position not just to threaten Americans overseas, but to really threaten American interests in Iraq, to wreak havoc in Syria, to pose a major humanitarian threat to religious minorities. So, so far as we can tell from what's public, it really does seem like ISIL is the biggest threat the U.S. faces today.
Now, Americans are very familiar with the name al-Qaeda by now. ISIL or ISIS seems to have sort of mushroomed overnight. Is ISIS a group that has sort of evolved from al-Qaeda, or is it a separate entity?
I think that's the million-dollar question. It's certainly true, based on what we know, that ISIS at least started as part of al-Qaeda, that ISIS was initially aligned with al-Qaeda, that they had similar goals, especially in the early years of the insurgency in Iraq. But it's also clear that at some point there was a real split, there was a real divide between senior members of ISIS and senior members of al-Qaeda. And, the real question legally is, what are the consequences of that split? What are the consequences of that divide? Because Congress in the AUMF, the Authorization for Use of Military Force, passed 1 week after 9/11, clearly authorized force against al-Qaeda insofar as al-Qaeda was responsible for the 9/11 attacks. Whether it authorized force against al-Qaeda's successor groups really depends on whether groups like ISIS are, in fact, al-Qaeda's successors or more like their, stilted ex-girlfriends.
Well, they seem to be competitive now. I think it was a week or two ago we had an example of al-Qaeda announcing that they were launching a branch in India, in the subcontinent at least, and that was seen as a move to upstage ISIS. So are the two groups at least in competition and distinct now?
I mean, I guess if it's a competition, it's one with the likes of which we've never seen before. And I think the real difficulty for us, for Americans right now, is to separate out the legal question, which is whether President Obama has the authority to use military force against ISIS, from the practical question, which is, shouldn't we have Congress more directly confronting the nature of the threat today as opposed to the nature of the threat we faced 13 years ago this week? And I think the split and the chasm between the legal analysis and the policy analysis is really what's causing so much of the problems in Washington right now.
Terrorism in general has really emerged since September 11th as a defining worry of our time in terms of global security. Are there a larger variety of terrorist organizations now than there were in 2001?
I mean, I think there certainly has been a proliferation of, multinational terrorist groups over the last 13 years. But, the important thing for everyone to remember is that Congress never actually declared war against terrorism. It was a common rhetorical trope during the Bush administration to refer to the war on terror, but Congress was actually much more specific. Congress was worried about the groups that hit us on 9/11 because those were the groups who we thought faced the biggest threat to the United States. Those were the groups where we weren't sure that our existing self-defense and law enforcement authorities would be adequate. So, whatever the nature of international terrorism today, the real question for the American people, the real question for Congress, is what is the nature of the threat the U.S. specifically faces today? And I think that's why so much of our attention in the recent weeks and months has been shifting away from al-Qaeda, which is really a shadow of its former self, and toward ISIS.
If We agree, which, as you're saying, we don't. There's no consensus right now. But if it emerges that we see ISIS as an outgrowth of Al-Qaeda, does that mean that the president is within his bounds in his actions?
I mean, I think the reality is there's a legal case to be made that insofar as ISIS really is the successor to Al-Qaeda, insofar as ISIS is basically the derivative, then yes, there is a plausible argument that the statute Congress passed in September 2001 to allow the president to go after Al-Qaeda also allows the president to go after its heirs and its successors. The problem is that that's only a legal argument. As a matter of common sense and just good practice, I think it would behoove everyone. It would behoove Congress. It would behoove the president. It would behoove all of us to have Congress passing a statute that's much more specifically tailored to the case at hand. Because whether or not you can pigeonhole and shoehorn ISIS into the 9/11 AUMF, there's no question that Congress wasn't thinking about ISIS back then. And so the better step going forward, the better policy going forward, would be a more specific statute that was based on the threat we face today, as opposed to the threat we faced 13 years ago.
Last night, President Obama held up Somalia and Yemen as examples of the kind of involvement the United States will have when it tries to combat ISIS. What kind of counterterrorism efforts have we seen there that could be applicable going forward?
Yeah, the Somalia and Yemen examples are interesting ones for the president to have invoked, because in both of those countries, what we've seen is scattershot uses of military force by the U.S., whether it comes in the form of drone strikes against targeted leaders, whether it comes in the form of special operations missions to actually go into the territory of those countries to capture high-level suspects. The military force we've used has been more like a scalpel than like a broadsword. And so if that's the plan, if that's President Obama's vision of the force he's contemplating to use against ISIS, then it is, I think, going to look a lot different from the original mission in Iraq a decade ago, where we had, over 100,000 combat troops on the ground. That doesn't seem to be where we're going. That doesn't necessarily mean that everything that the president is proposing falls within the scope of the same authority. But it does mean we're talking about much more limited military force than what was true, for example, in Iraq in 2002 and 2003.
Do you have a sense where terrorist operations stand today in places like Pakistan and Nigeria?
Yeah, we are seeing upsurges in isolated acts of terrorism in Pakistan and Nigeria in a number of countries around the world. And I think the real question that's going to keep the Obama administration up at night is whether the way to mitigate the threat to the United States is to actually become much more aggressive in policing even those threats, to basically take up the mantle of the world's terrorism police, or to try to figure out alternative methods for helping those governments, helping those regimes become more stable, become more self-sufficient, and become more able to deter and prevent terrorism on their own soil. And I have to think that in the long term, we are all better off the less that the U.S. is responsible for preventing and deterring terrorism all over the world.
Well, President Obama has said that he's trying to engage allies in this. That's part of what he spoke about last night. And when it comes to U.S. military action combating terrorism, he has been in that sort of arena more cautious. With ISIS, it seems as though, especially the last week or two, his feet have really been held to the fire to act. So what is it about ISIS that is putting this pressure on the president?
I mean, I think realistically, what is the game changer for ISIS is the degree to which they control large amounts of territory and large amounts of land in both Syria and Iraq. Because when we're talking about other groups like Boko Haram in Nigeria or Jamaat Islamiyah in Indonesia and Southeast Asia, we're talking about groups that have a presence but that don't control territory. And with territory comes the ability to launch far more aggressive operations and the ability to have much more success in staging attacks on surrounding countries than when you have terrorist groups operating within the borders of, wholly functioning civil government. So I think the real problem in ISIS's case is not just their ideology and their agenda. It's also the topography and the geography of their control, which gives them so much more power and so much more maneuverability than so many of the other terrorist groups that you hear about on a daily basis.
So that's interesting. You're saying it's topography and control of land and not so much the violence that we've seen.
I mean, I think the reality is it's hard to rank terrorist groups on the scale of the violence to which they would like to. It's very hard to run terrorist groups on a sort of a violent scale. I think the real question is, how can you deter the threat? And when you have terrorist groups that are operating, within countries that have completely functioning civil governments that have control over all their territory, usually the best way to deal with that threat is through ordinary law enforcement capacities, because presumably that country has the ability, perhaps with some outside support, to go and arrest the suspects. When you have terrorist groups that control their own territory, that option goes totally out the window. And so it really becomes a question of other countries using military force on the soil of a third-party country to try to prevent that threat. That's what's new about ISIS, and from the Obama administration's perspective, that is what's so deeply problematic, at least diplomatically.
Last night, President Obama said that he would combat ISIL or ISIS wherever in the world that they are. And ISIS is a terrorist group that calls itself an Islamic State. So if that idea of Islamic statehood appeals to other terrorist groups elsewhere in the world, does that mean that the U.S. has authority to go after them wherever they are?
No, I mean, I think as a matter of law, the legal authority only runs to the groups that were responsible for attacking us on September 11th and their successors. And so that means al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and insofar as it's true, and query whether it is true, perhaps ISIS as a successor to al-Qaeda. If there are other groups around the world that have similar violent extremist ideologies and that take up the mantle of Islam, that doesn't qualify them for being targeted. I mean, and that's, I think, the key point here that many members of Congress keep forgetting. This is not a war against Islamist extremism. This is not a war against religious terrorism. This is a war against specific groups that have a specific connection to the worst terrorist attacks in world history.
Steve, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We've been speaking with Steve Vladek, professor of law at American University Washington College of Law, looking at the state of terrorism around the world as we mark September 11th.
Coming up in this week's edition of Curious Wisconsin, we meet two members of Wisconsin Pinball League who want to bring the game back to its past glory.